Even though I'm recovering from my whatever it was, congested head, chest, whatever, this past week's been a pretty good training week for me. I ran 6 days in a row, Monday through Saturday, got in a little over 26 miles, which is, for me, a high mileage week. I haven't run 26 miles in a week for a while. My two longest runs were probably 6.2 and 5.5 yesterday. The 6.2 was on Monday. And most of the runs the rest of the week were between 3.5 and 4 miles. Felt pretty good. It was a hot week, but I ran, and I figured that running would certainly help out my stuffy nose and maybe blow the stuff out of my lungs, which seems to have worked in some regard. I still have some kind of problem with my, I guess with my sinuses, because my right ear is almost stopped up like, you know, when you get water in your ear when you swim. It's kind of like that. Every once in a while it'll gurgle. Kind of drives me crazy. Then it settles down, but I'm hoping this week maybe it'll finally clear up and I'll be good to go. And I would like to get in some higher mileage training weeks from now through Peachtree so I can do decent on Peachtree. I think last year I ran a 58:30. I'd like to at least do that. I'd really like to beat that, but July 4th is usually not the coolest day, but they really haven't been extremely hot in the past couple of years. My theory on training specifically for Peachtree got almost sidetracked by me being sick the past couple of weeks, but I've been trying to go ahead and train on through it, maybe not at the pace I wanted to, so we'll see how it comes out in the end. I'm hoping that I recover and get some good mileage and some good speed workouts in before Peachtree so that I'll feel comfortable when I run the race. So that's my update for this week, and I will talk to you again sometime in the next couple of days probably. This is a little PS to add to my podcast today. I was rummaging through my various training books and I came across one of my old books that I had forgotten about that was one of the major influences on my running, along with Bowerman and Kenneth Cooper. It's a book called Serious Runner's Handbook. It was published in 1978 by Runner's World, and, well, not Runner's World, World Publications, which was owned by Runner's World, and it was written by Tom Osler. And I came across some stuff related to walking and running and walking and stuff like that. And this book was written in 1978. Here's the first portion of his book. The format of this book is like a question and answer session. And I'm on page 21 of that book, and it says, question number 5. What are the various types of running from which a training program can be designed? For the sake of simplicity, we shall consider only 5 basic training elements. 1. Walking. 2. Running mixed with walking. 3. Long, slow, continuous runs. 4. Interval speed sessions. 5. Long, fast, continuous runs. I now answer some questions on the positive and negative effects of each of these 5. Okay, question 6. Is walking useful as a training tool for the competitive runner? By walking, I mean ordinary brisk walking at the speed of 3 to 4 miles per hour. I do not mean heel-to-toe race walking, which isn't really a walk but is a stiff-legged run. In the past, walking was considered to be an integral part of a runner's training program. This is no longer true for most runners. They suffer because of it. Good effects. Brisk walking is probably the most natural exercise for man. As a tool for promoting good circulation and overall robust health, it is unmatched. Yes, it is even better than running because walking does not place a heavy strain on the tendons of the leg and foot. Walkers endure far fewer injuries than runners. For the competitive runner, walking is marvelous restorative exercise. It is like a gentle massage. Brisk walking can be used in the evenings as a means of promoting circulation for all parts of the legs without straining them. It promotes the healing of inflamed tendons and hastens the removal of products of fatigue generated earlier in the day by hard running. Bad effects. As far as one's general health is concerned, there are no bad effects from walking. However, walking is not vigorous enough to train the body for hard racing. I know people who can backpack all day, but would be hard-pressed to run 5 miles at the slowest speed. Okay, question number 7. What about running mixed with walking? A suitable mixture of running and walking can allow a person to cover enormous distances with relatively little fatigue. For example, a well-trained runner might cover 40 miles in training by alternating running 2 miles in 15 minutes, then walking a quarter mile in 4 minutes. Continuing in this way, running 2 miles and walking a quarter, he can complete the 40 miles with far less fatigue than if he had tried to run the entire distance. Very few runners use this training technique today. This is unfortunate. Good effects. By mixing walking with slow running, one can keep the circulatory system active for a long period of time without placing so much strain on the tendons. Thus, a firm foundation for endurance activities is established. Also, the walking promotes the removal of the waste products of fatigue caused by the running. So I'll leave it off of there, but I was just interested when I found this that he indicated that mixing running and walking was really a good way to train, but people didn't do it very much back in 1978. And I think Osler was a ultra guy too. Let me see if I can find out. Okay, on the back of the book it says, Tom Osler was one of the first runners to emphasize that nearly all running should be done at a comfortable meandering pace. Osler is a veteran racer of distances from 1 mile to the ultramarathon. He was the winner of 3 national championships at 25 kilometers, 30 kilometers, and 50 miles. The Serious Runner's Handbook presents definitive information about distance running in a convenient question and answer format. A few of the questions Osler addresses are, what are the effects of interval speed running? Why can't the runner maintain peak level indefinitely? What is the purpose of running one long run a week? Is it best to run once or twice daily? Osler's clear and succinct training advice will help any serious runner improve his technique. The Serious Runner's Handbook offers basic information for both the beginning runner and the runner training for his first ultramarathon. The running world took a while to catch up with Tom, but when it did, his ideas on combining gently paced base work with a period of carefully planned sharpening for races weren't at all outrageous anymore. They worked, and most runners now train much like Osler. And that was written by Joe Henderson when he was the consulting editor of Runner's World magazine. So I was just kind of impressed. I ran across this book again in my library of training books and was reading through some of these questions and found those related to the running and walking thing. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting, and just adding it to the end of my podcast here. See you next time. Bye.